good morning. It's Tuesday, June 9th, and this is Israel in 10, the Misgav Daily Brief. I'm Laura Sellier in Tel Aviv. Israel is striking Hezbollah in Lebanon a day after Iran and Israel agreed to stop attacking each other. FDD CEO Mark Dubowitz tells me that linking the two fronts would be a mistake and a major concession to Tehran. This is President Trump says once again that a deal with Iran is close. You'll hear our conversation in a moment, but first the headlines. The IDF has issued evacuation orders for the Lebanese city of Tira, and Lebanese media is reporting multiple Israeli airstrikes. A report in the New York Times suggests President Trump has forbidden Israel from striking Beirut as he seeks to secure a deal with Tehran. Both Trump and his vice president, J.D. Vance, say an agreement with Iran is within reach. But as CNN points out today, Trump's already made that claim 37 times. Iran may not be striking Israel directly, but it has once again activated its proxies. In Yemen, the Houthis fired a drone at the Red Sea city of Eilat this morning. It was intercepted with no reports of casualties or damage. The attack comes a day after the Houthis resumed strikes on Israel for the first time in months. Three senior Palestinian Islamic Jihad commanders have been killed in an Israeli airstrike in central Gaza. The IDF says the group has been rebuilding its military infrastructure and is planning attacks on Israeli forces despite the ceasefire. The strike comes as talks continue in Cairo, where mediators are trying to preserve the fragile truce. Karim Khan, the chief prosecutor of the International Criminal Court, has been officially suspended over allegations of sexual misconduct. According to Reuters, an 18-month investigation found he engaged in non-consensual sexual interactions with a lawyer in his office. Khan strongly denies the allegations. Member states will now decide whether or not to remove him permanently from his post. And a lecture on the ancient kingdoms of Israel and Judah will go ahead at the British Museum this week after it was postponed over security concerns. The event, part of the UK's first ever Jewish Culture Month, was originally scheduled for May, but organisers were warned that it would be targeted by anti-Israel activists. Demand has been so high that the lecture will also be live streamed online. Before we get to today's conversation, a quick reminder that you can sponsor Israel in 10. Just drop us a line at misgavdailybrief@gmail.com. Now, here's the CEO of the Foundation for Defense of Democracies, Mark Dubowitz. What did this latest round, this very brief round of fighting, change in terms of Iran's calculations?
Well, what I hope it didn't change is that Iran believes now that it has linked the Lebanese theater with the Iranian theater, because I think it'd be a big mistake that if Iran comes out of this believing that it can fire missiles at Israel at will anytime Israel is retaliating against Hezbollah strikes. So there was a moment of time where I was pretty worried, where President Trump seemed to be intimating that. And then obviously the Israelis went ahead and struck at Iran at both their air defenses and at key petrochemical facilities that are an important part of their missile production facilities. So that's good news that Israel still struck. The bad news would be if the Iranians emerged believing that they have now successfully linked the Iranian and Lebanese theaters, and they're going into negotiations emboldened that they can extract even more concessions from the United States.
Right. I mean, there's a lot of concern, even anger here in Israel, that Israel is being restrained from going after Hezbollah as it needs to do.
Yeah, I think that anger is warranted. I mean, obviously, there's no way the Israelis can be put in a position where they can't retaliate against Hezbollah strikes, or that the only retaliation has to be confined to southern Lebanon, and that they can't actually hit Hezbollah in its heartland and in Beirut and go after senior Hezbollah commanders there. That would give Hezbollah immunity to continue the fight against northern Israel and against Israeli cities, while granting immunity to their top commanders that they can't be struck in Beirut or in areas that are not confined to southern Lebanon, where I think that limiting that fight would be very dangerous.
President Trump has said he will be maintaining the economic blockade on Iran's ports, the physical blockade on its ports. Just in terms of Iran's economy, how close is it to collapse? And perhaps more importantly, what is the status of its oil production facilities? Because I know you were predicting that their oil storage capacities were about to run out. Where are we with that?
So it's hard to know exactly where that is. I mean, I think the numbers we do know are quite alarming for Iran. I mean, for example, in terms of their oil exports, they were exporting about 2.1 million barrels a day before the 38-day war broke out, February 28th. They're now down to 64,000. So they dropped from 2.1 million barrels a day to 64,000. They're losing about $500 million a day in exports and imports because of the blockade. They've sustained, according to their own numbers, about $270 billion in direct damage as a result of the 30-day war or 38-day war. And inflation is 60-70%, but for food, it's more like 170-180%. So they're facing a severe economic crisis. It's hard to know when an economy actually collapses, but it seems to me that their collapse is coming at them pretty fast. And I think for that reason, you would think they would be desperate for a deal with President Trump. They don't seem to be desperate, or at least they don't seem to be demonstrating desperation. And I think part of the reason is that at the end of the day, the Revolutionary Guards and Mojtaba Khamenei don't care about the welfare of the Iranian people, don't care about an economic crisis. I think the only element that they should worry about, and perhaps do, is that desperation on the street will mean more Iranians on the street, and they may be facing another wave of massive protests as they did in January of this year.
And there seems to be this narrative, doesn't there, that Mojtaba Khamenei is more determined to hold on to Iran's nuclear program than was his father. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't buy that narrative. I mean, I think Ali Khamenei was deeply committed to Iran getting a nuclear weapon, built up a nuclear infrastructure over many years, sustained massive damage to his economy through sanctions. But Ali Khamenei was a patient practitioner of geopolitics, right? He wanted to take patient pathways to nuclear weapons. And he understood he could do that under the JCPOA, or you could do that in a scenario where the United States and Israel were unable to strike his nuclear program. And to do that, his plan was to build up a massive missile arsenal, a huge shield of 11,000, 12,000 ballistic missiles capable of reaching Israel, an intercontinental ballistic missile program capable of striking the American homeland. And once he built up that massive missile shield, then he would break out to nuclear weapons. Well, the missile shield is gone, has been severely degraded by U.S. and Israeli strikes. The nuclear program has been severely degraded. Iran is no longer enriching uranium for the first time in two decades. And now you have Mojtaba Khamenei, who I think probably believes that his father had made a mistake by not rushing for the bomb and taking the patient pathways. And so Mojtaba Khamenei, I believe, would rush for the bomb if he could. And the only question is, can he? Does he have the capabilities to do so? He has enriched uranium. He has remaining centrifuges. He may have places where he could build an enrichment facility. But right now, he would be concerned, if I were him, that Israel has penetrated his security infrastructure, his intelligence infrastructure, and the Israelis and the Americans will know if he does. And if so, and if he goes for the bomb, that may be when President Trump would finally authorize a regime change operation to take down the regime. So that's the only thing he has to be worried. He's clearly not as cautious as the old man. He clearly doesn't have the same strategy and experience as the old man. But we have to be worried that in his inexperience and his anger, he may rush for the bomb.
We're just over 100 days into this war. Has it been a success?
I think we're winning, but we haven't won yet. I think we have done severe damage to Iran's capabilities, even though it's the same regime in place. And I think that matters. I think for Israelis, that should matter. I mean, I've seen the numbers on Iran's missile program. They were on a trajectory to build 11,000 ballistic missiles within a couple of years. They're now down to 1,700. That matters. There's no way Israel would have had the capabilities to defend against hundreds and hundreds of ballistic missiles being fired at Israeli cities. So I think significant win on the missile side, on the nuclear side, significant degradation of their capabilities. They were days away from nuclear weapons. They are now 2.5-3 years away from developing nuclear weapons. Their military has been decimated. Missile and drone production capabilities have been decimated. I think from an Israeli perspective, it's been a real victory, but there's still much more to do. And from an American perspective, we still have to win the battle for Hormuz before we can declare it a real victory. It's about time that President Trump orders the U.S. military to engage in military operations to open the strait, because I fear that through negotiations, we will not get any acceptable deal that will either permanently open the strait or will permanently ensure that Iran doesn't rebuild its nuclear and missile capabilities.
That's it. That's your Israel intent. Thanks for watching, and do subscribe using the link below. It just takes a few seconds. Thank you and goodbye.